All right, nice to have you back with us. We're going to go back east to New York City, Yankee Stadium, bring in the wonderful Hall of Fame baseball writer for the New York Daily News. That is Bill Madden. Bill, good morning. Good afternoon to you. How are you?
Yes, sir. How are you, Marty?
Very good. Very good. Thank you for taking the time to be on with us. You've got quite an event going on. You've got the Yankees and the Rays, and then you've got the Matt Harvey story and the Mets and the Marlins today with Steven Matz pitching for the Mets. This is the epitome of excitement for New York baseball.
Right. Yeah, and it's going to get even better as the week goes on, because the Mets go to play Washington next, and then right after the Yankees get done with the Orioles, we have the Blue Jays coming in here.
Wow.
For a four-game series on the weekend. So it's all coming down to this week.
Boy, very good. Bill Madden with us. Bill, before we talk a little bit about Stan Musial and the great moments he had against the Giants, and you and I are about the only ones who can remember this stuff, let's talk about Matt Harvey and Sandy Alderson and Scott Boras and the innings limit of 180 and just the effect on the clubhouse, the town. Bob Nightingale's been writing the town is in an uproar about all this stuff. Bring us up to date on what's going on there.
Well, obviously, yes, the town is in an uproar. I mean, the Mets fans especially are totally outraged by this. They've waited so long for the Mets to get back into the postseason and actually have a team that's capable of going all the way. And here we have their ace pitcher is now basically saying that when he hits the 180 pitch limit, he's out of here. So, you know, this is the whole new game of baseball that we're dealing with now, Marty. Long gone are the days when Steve Carlton in 1980 would pitch 310 innings during the regular season, lead the league in innings, and then pitch four more games in the postseason, most of them complete games, adding another 28 innings or so on his blog. You don't have that anymore. I mean, you have pitchers now, as we all know, that, you know, you're lucky to get six, you know, an average of a little more than six innings out of these starting pitchers. But more importantly, you know, Harvey's been their horse, and this whole thing was sprung on the Mets a couple of days ago by Harvey's agent, Scott Boras, who said, you know, we've had this 180 limit agreement with the Mets, and they're about to abuse it, which, of course, Sandy Alderson, the Mets GM, took issue with that. And Sandy told me the other day, he says, we have our own limit on him as well, and it's not far above that 180, but he's going to pitch in the postseason. So when they asked Harvey about that, all of a sudden Harvey, who's been saying, I'm there, I'm going to be there, I'm a warrior or whatever, he suddenly backtracked yesterday, and that's just cussed off this whole furor.
Wow. Wow, what a story. Now, Boras says, you know, he's got all the records that players who come back from Tommy John surgery and go from zero innings to 200, something terrible can happen with them. Is there any medical evidence to support what Boras is saying here?
Well, according to Sandy Alderson, there's not. He said this is not an exact science by any stretch of the imagination. You know, every pitcher has different limits as far as, you know, we don't know. I mean, there's no doctor out there or a physician or a trainer or anybody else. They can tell you for sure that if Matt Harvey goes over 180 innings, he's going to blow out. So that's the problem you have with this. Every pitcher is different. I mean, somebody pointed out that Tommy John, the year after he had Tommy John surgery, pitched 208 innings,
yeah,
which is an awful lot of innings. You wouldn't see that today. But then again, Tommy John was also a different kind of pitcher. He was a left-hander who had an easy motion. He wasn't a power pitcher like Harvey with, you know, there's so much thrust in his action, arm action and everything. So, you know, nobody can say for sure.
Boy, interesting. Bill Madden with us. Bill, how do you think this is going to end up? Now, you know, you've been around the game a long time. Agents have so much power. The club, Alderson's a pretty strong guy. You have the contract that says, look, and if you're not disabled, we can say you're going to pitch. How does this thing end up?
Well, I suspect that Harvey will be, the Mets will see to it that if he's not at 180, or close to it. They're going to keep him. He will pitch, and I cannot believe that he won't pitch in, at least in the division series, assuming that they don't blow this thing.
Right.
You know, I mean, they haven't clinched yet, so this could all be a moot point. But and they got a big series with Washington starting tomorrow, which is going to tell the tale, I think, in this this whole race. But anyway, getting back to Harvey, I can't believe that he won't pitch at least in the division series. So I'd be very surprised if that doesn't happen. But we'll see how they limit his innings from here on out. I know one thing. He's pitching game one tomorrow against the Nationals.
Very good. Great baseball story, Bill. Thanks for that aspect of it. Now, the second aspect, Arenado has 9 homers against the Giants, and everyone scurried to the record books last night. And the most any visiting player has ever had against the Giants, it goes back to your year of 1954, the wonderful book you wrote about that season. And Stan the Man Musial hit 12 against the Giants that year, and 5, I remember talking to Bill Rigney about, 5 in a doubleheader. So maybe you could bring us up to date on that.
5 of them in one day. So, yeah. Well, Stan was a notorious Dodger killer, and he was also a notorious Giant killer. And in both cases, there was a common denominator. When he started out being a Dodger killer in the 40s, Leo DeRocher was managing the Dodgers. And then when he continued to be a Giant killer in the 50s, Leo DeRocher was managing the Giants. And Stan Musial hated Leo DeRocher. And you have to understand, Stan Musial was probably the nicest person that ever played Major League Baseball. I mean, there's a reason why Ford Frick came up with that thing about that statue of him in which he said, "Here stands baseball's greatest knight." And anyway, and the reason he hated DeRocher was because DeRocher was notorious for having his pitchers throw at Musial. You know, he didn't make any secret about the fact. I mean, because it got back to Musial. I mean, Magley and some of these other pitchers would tell him, look, you know, this is what Leo ordered. And so Musial never forgot that. And you must know this, too. Musial never charged the mound. As maybe you don't know that, but he never charged the mound. He was never thrown out of a game in the whole time he played Major League Baseball. Mm. And he never, I don't know of any instances where he even turned or questioned a third strike or any kind of a ball or strike call with the home plate umpire. But he never forgave DeRocher for the fact that he would order his pitchers to throw at him. And I got this story for the book from Monty Irvin, who told me that when he was serving on the Veterans Committee with Stan back in the 70s, DeRocher's name frequently came up as a candidate for the Hall of Fame. And he said, Stan said to him one time, he said, look, there's just one guy. Stan had served on the Veterans Committee for quite a few years, as did Monty. And Stan said to Monty one time, he said, look, there's one guy I just can never vote for. I'm sorry, but I can't vote for this guy. So when you think about that, I mean, this is a guy, Stan Musial never had a bad word about anybody. And he's admitting that he's biased on this Veterans Committee when it comes to Leo DeRocher. He admitted that to Monty.
Wow.
And by the way, you could look it up. Leo DeRocher did not get elected to the Hall of Fame until Stan Musial was no longer on the Veterans Committee. Whether that's coincidence, I don't know.
And Leo was
not.
Yeah, and Leo was gone by then too. They wouldn't put him in while Leo was alive. But
exactly, yeah.
Interesting though, it's great background really, because I look at the number of 12 homers against the Giants. Now with that background and knowing he had 5 in one doubleheader against Willie Mays and the Giants and DeRocher, it must have given him a tremendous amount of satisfaction to do that.
Well, it absolutely did. I mean, Stan made no bones about that. I mean, he always had great satisfaction when he would beat a Leo DeRocher managed team. And, of course, that year, he was probably the Giants' biggest nemesis. They won the pennant fairly easily, but against the Cardinals, they would always have some problems when it came to Mr. Musial.
Ah, great. Great background. Of course, the book, Bill, how's the book doing, 1954?
we did really well. It's still still selling along there, and yeah, it did very well. I was very proud of the fact that it got picked up by so many different venues, as far as people catching on to the fact it was a 60th anniversary. And the whole theme of the book was interesting, I think, to a lot of people that didn't know what the theme was, and that was the fact that 7 years after Jackie Robinson broke the color line, baseball was still only half integrated. Only eight of the 16 teams had integrated 7 years after he broke the color line. Mm. It was slow in coming, and 1954 was the watershed year. Was the real watershed year for integration in baseball, between Willie leading the Giants to the pennant in the National League, and Larry Doby leading the Indians to the pennant in the American League. The first time a World Series was played with black players on both sides of the lines, and also the fact that Willie was, of course, the overwhelming MVP in the American League. Larry Doby should have won the MVP in the American League. He led the league in homers and RBIs for a team that won a record 111 games and was beaten out for the MVP award by Yogi Berra, whose team finished 8.5 games behind the Indians.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's why you're a Hall of Fame baseball writer. I love it. Bill Madden, New York Daily News. One last thought for you. I saw a stat today that Bryce Harper is 7 homers behind A-Rod, 95. He's got 88. A-Rod's got 95. For the most homers before the age of 23, and it goes from there to Tony Conigliaro, 104, Eddie Matthews, 112, and Mel Ott, 115. So Bryce Harper, Bill, this is a kid who the sky's the limit for him. I think he's getting better every day.
Yep, he's in very selective company already in his career. I think the only thing that can stop Bryce Harper is going to be injuries.
Mm-hmm.
Had a problem with injuries since the day he came out. This year he stayed healthy most of the year. And I think that's why he's going to win his first MVP this year.
Wow, very good. Boy, great to have you on. Enjoy the Yankee game today and the Mets series, and I'd love to catch up with you a little later in the month to see how all this plays out.
Okay, Marty. Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting week here in New York.
All right, as always. All right, Bill, thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay, take care, Marty.
All right,
bye.
That is Hall of Fame baseball writer Bill Madden, New York Daily News. Terrific. Just now I understand the magnitude of the 12 home runs that Musial hit against the Giants in 54. He must have loved it. Because Musial, the nicest guy ever, really, nicest guy ever in baseball, Stan Musial. I remember him, of course, in later years, played the harmonica. Remember at the Hall of Fame all the time? He'd always be out there playing, take me out to the ball game on the harmonica and all that. Stan the man, Musial. All right, more coming up right here, KMBR 680, the sports leader.